Off the Ball, GAA.
Oh my God, outrageous. But like, we were quietly confident coming into the game, like, you know, so I'm not too surprised that we won.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball.
In association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. Kathy McNamee here with you to look back on a very exciting international window, which went exactly how we hoped it would, all things considered. Joining me to look back on it is Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron. A great day out at the Aviva, by all accounts, Karen. A win, 6 points on the board, and hopefully one step closer to making sure that we get that third place.
Yeah, we kind of said previously that we didn't think they'd score 3 goals. But again, I thought the performance was good. It was professional in every way that it needed to be. We hadn't kept a clean sheet up to that point. So again, way more positives to take from the Aviva than negatives. And the main thing just being those standings in the league table. If we're being realistic and honest, third place was what we wanted. It's essentially what we have now. And when you look at the teams that we could end up playing in our playoff, even from this position, yes, I think we've overcome the ghosts of Ukraine and Greece now. So that's the level of team we're looking at, and playing the way we're playing and seeing how we performed against Poland. I'm not going to compare them to France, but seeing how we played against Poland, I think confidence levels are going to be very high throughout the squad. And I think, yeah, they seem to be getting the best out of themselves at the moment, and long may it last.
Yes, definitely. I think if we, obviously if we hold on to that third place spot, which is more than likely, considering that Poland have to play France and Netherlands again, it means that a semi-final in October would be against Lithuania, Kosovo, Greece or Hungary from League C. So obviously that's the sort of opponents that we would hope to beat. And then if we get through to the final playoff, it would be good old Ukraine, our friends again. If we really want to make sure those ghosts are gone, Serbia, Austria, and then potentially Poland as well, we can face them again. So as you can see by the names in that list, that's why everyone has been going on about how important it has been to secure that third place spot. And Karen, I think it was you that said last week as well, just getting that clean sheet as well, absolutely massive for the side. Scarlett, what was it that you saw from the team on Saturday in the Aviva? I know you talked a bit on the podcast last week about how hard it is to go toe-to-toe with the same team so close together, but what was it that they managed to get right that meant that they did get the result that they wanted?
Yeah, I think we were just really resilient in sort of everything we did. I don't think it was, like, I thought we played better in the first game. Like, I thought it was a better performance from us, but as you mentioned there, the clean sheet, we spoke about it, like how key that was going to be in getting a result here and getting the right result, like give us the foundation then to go and try score. And even if we didn't, I think 4 points could have been enough in this camp. So I think even to get the six is the icing on the cake really for the girls. And yeah, I just think you seem like the work that went into getting that result, like the work that was done in midfield by like Denise and Rissa Shiva, like it was unbelievable, like really a Trojan effort from those two, and even Megan Connolly as well, who held that sort of sixth position. But yeah, I just think all round we're very, very solid, especially at the back. I think Poland probably had a bit more joy in possession that they did in the first game, but again, like, didn't cause us too many problems. So I think that's a massive positive to take, as maybe they played a lot better, but they were just more aggressive as well, but they didn't really cause as much issues as they would have liked to. So I think it's compliment to the whole team as a whole. Just, I think Carla has obviously found her best 11, and it's something that's working. So I think that consistency as well is really important, because you do see some managers that chop and change a lot and, you know, don't really know their best. Like, we see that with Arsenal all the time. Like, they don't really know who their best 11 is. So I think that consistency helps with the overall, like, sort of morale of the team as well. And just being able to focus in on the task at hand. Everyone knows their roles, I suppose, going into it. So yeah, I think a really positive performance. Obviously, kind of could have gone two ways with the penalty shot late on, which is a stonewaller, but we got away with it. So I think overall we deserve to win the game, but it's one of those that on another day we could have had luck on the Polish side. So I think take the 3 points and run.
Yeah, definitely. I was on the edge of my seat for that one. Not really sure how we did manage to get away with it. Cairn, we have to, it was one of the players that Scarlett mentioned there, and I think it was the name that everyone was talking about after the game. Wasn't Emily Murphy for the first time in three games, but she who also
Oh,
did
do I
very,
get
very
to talk
well.
about Denise again?
You get to talk about Denise again. The amount
Great.
of people that texted me about that near goal was hilarious. I was like, I can't imagine how many I would have got if she'd actually got it in the back of the net. But I mean, how many times have we talked about her on the podcast over the years? A player of pure class. And the interview she did with RT after the game was brilliant as well. And other outlets that I saw, she's just one in a million.
She is, and Steph spoke about it in punditry as well. It's who she is off the field as well. Like, you had 18,000 people willing that goal to go in for her because she deserved it so much. Just not just that performance, but every time she pulls on a green jersey, and like I know I'm repeating myself, but she epitomizes what it should mean to wear the Irish jersey. Everything she's done and all the sacrifices she's made in her career, yes, she's pushed herself personally to achieve personal things in terms of club football, but really at the spine of it has always been what she can bring to the international team. And it just oozes out of her. Like, class oozes out of her on and off the field. And she's someone who anyone in that dressing room can look to and be like, that's the gold standard. That's what I should aspire to get to. Not everyone's going to be able to reach that because she just has certain talent levels that we won't be able to reach. But a lot of it is that kind of self-made thing and how hard she's worked herself. It's kind of like if you were, this is a wild comparison, but like if you're looking at like her and Katie, like Katie's kind of the Messi, that like natural footballer who always had it and always will have it. Denise is kind of like the Ronaldo who like worked to get themselves to that point, and we're so blessed to have both of them. But in terms of just this performance, and what she brought, and she was getting a bit of special attention. Like, we have to give Poland credit. I thought that Poland's setup and discipline was really, really good in the first half. They really blocked off the success that we were getting through the middle in the away game. They brought their wingers in, and Denise was getting a bit of special attention. But like, even with that, she managed to be standout. So yeah, she's just superb. And obviously she picked up a soft enough yellow card. Oh, it's probably fair enough. There was a little bit of skill getting the nutmeg, and she blocked off the girl's run. But in terms of the Holland game now, which is maybe the one we think, oh, at home, maybe we'll make something against Holland. I think without Denise and without Emily Murphy, I think this is the one time we'll probably have to see Carla change shape. I don't think there's anyone else who you can bring into that midfield who can cover the same distance and do the defensive and attacking work. Like, she's so key to setting up those attacks and making third man runs. I don't see anyone else. Not, no offense, like none of it, no one's like Denise. So if I was looking towards that game, I would be looking to be a little bit more negative in my approach and maybe put an extra player in midfield and go maybe like a 5-4-1.
Yeah, I was thinking that whenever Scarlett was chatting there about kind of having a settled enough team, and I was like, unfortunately, we don't know that there could be injuries and stuff before June as well, but unfortunately, we are missing two fairly key players for those next games. But we won't dwell on that too much at the moment because we will have plenty of time to talk about that before the game. But yeah, I think everyone would agree there definitely will have to be a bit of a shake-up. And also, just for Denise, like, personally, very disappointing because we know how much she loves putting on a green jersey, but getting the opportunity to do that in her home city, and as we have seen, it like brings a special level of things to the game for her whenever she gets the opportunity to play down there. So disappointing from that perspective as well. Scarlett, for you as a young player, you know, having someone like Denise in the setup, what is it like to be able to watch her every time an international window comes around? Now we obviously get to see a bit more of her at club level as well because she's playing on the same time zone as us, but what does it mean having someone like her in there?
Yeah, I think just to like nearly echo what Karen said, like she is that one, like she's that talent that, you know, she's worked so hard to get to where she is. And, you know, she's a pure example of how far that, you know, determination and grit can get you in life and not just in sport. But yeah, I think she's just an inspiration to all young girls nowadays, like who are looking to play football at a high level or looking to play football at any level. Like even her quote there that you've seen, over the weekend about when she was speaking to RTE about like, if you want to play for Ireland, like go for it, like you know, work hard and try achieve your dream. Like for young girls watching that's huge, like, because a few years ago without the coverage, like that wasn't there, you know, that's it to be, it wasn't there to the same level that it is now, you know. And to have, you know, players like her who are such, you know, good people as well, you know, you get maybe in the men's game you would get more people who aren't role models off the pitch, but she, you know, she both. And I think we're fortunate in Ireland to have a lot of girls like that who are, you know, playing at a very high level and are very good people too. And you see that with the amount of interaction there is with the fans after games. And, you know, even if you meet them in the street, I'd say they'd be like lovely people as well, like to the fans who come up to them. So I think that's really, really important for girls coming up now to see that. And to see, obviously, Denise went away and she's now come back to the WSL, and she's a lot closer to home, I suppose, for those girls as well to be able to watch her domestically. So that's so important. Like, and I'd say like there's 18,000 girls in that stadium now wanting to be like Denise, and maybe girls that haven't been to a national game before, and, you know, going home with O'Sullivan on the back. So I think it's so important, and it's great to have the girls, I suppose, to be able to for young girls to look up to, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've long said she is one of the greats, and will always be one of the greats, whether she's in a jersey or whatever comes next on that sad day when we don't.
It's
get
a long way away, though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She will. I'm not sure she can't play anymore. Like 131. She's on now.
I think so.
She'll break 200.
I mean, I hope we get her to another World Cup. Or,
well, this is what I mean. If we keep making these major tournaments and we start progressing a bit.
Exactly. It'll,
good for Denise.
All the games will just keep rolling in. So I assume that the overall analysis of these two windows can only be seen as positives. You know, I don't know. Like, obviously you take the negatives of the yellow cards for the next round, not great, but again, we've always been targeting these 6 points that I think, like, avoiding any major embarrassment will be the first, you know, port of call for those games, and trying to get close to what we managed to do in the first round of fixtures. For you, Karen, like, what has been the standout takeaway, I suppose? You know, we talked about Emily Murphy coming to the forefront. Denise is always brilliant, but showed particular skill on Saturday. We got the points on the boards. That's obviously essential. The consistency that we've seen in the team, also very important. Finally getting a clean sheet. But, you know, what kind of comes to the top of your mind when you look back on this window?
That we have enough people in the starting 11 playing to their potential. You wouldn't say that the team on paper is any better than the team that we would have had when we had Niamh Fahey, Louise Quinn, you know, Julianne Russell. Like, you wouldn't say it's a better team, but in terms of form, the form seems to be there at the right time. And when it clicks, every time you come into camp, it just creates that little bit more of a buzz. So I think that they seem very together, which is really good. It seems like they are getting the best out of each other. Even you see it on the pitch. I think it's not just the management. I think there's a collective kind of mentality there among the group. If we were to nitpick at like something to raise a little bit of concern, I guess we didn't have any defenders on the bench. I know we play 5 or 6 in the starting 11. Didn't have any defenders on the bench. The bench wasn't widely used. And again, obviously, if there's suspensions or injuries, you'd be taking a punt nearly on someone, unless maybe it'd be great to get Jessu back to full fitness, because I do think she can kind of slot into any of those front positions. But that's really nitpicking if we were to look at anything. Obviously, we were trying to nitpick at the goals we conceded, and they were kind of simple enough. Get close to your players, lock on. But again, we scored four goals in this window. Yeah, positives, all positives.
Yeah, and also seeing a lot more action from play rather than relying on set pieces, which is important. Scarlett, one player that probably deserves a mention, and we did talk about her briefly last week, just in terms of, the sheer amount of ground that she covers on the pitch and got a goal in on Saturday, is Marissa Shiva, or as I've learned from all the Instagram posts, the team seems to call her Maz. But she, she is one of those players who I think has always worked a lot, but maybe isn't one that you would necessarily think to turn to or think to talk about after a game. And she talked a little bit about it before going into the camp. She was asked about, getting consistent football now that she's playing over in England, and that, did she kind of need to make a change, or did she feel like, did she see a change herself whenever she was getting that consistent time on the field? And you could almost see, like, having interviewed her a lot since she joined the squad at various different things, you could see there was like an ease in her that maybe wasn't there before. And I think that it's potentially confidence that has been coming from getting consistent play and playing in a very competitive league. What have you seen from her that maybe is a little bit different to the last couple of international windows?
Yeah, I'd say confidence probably comes down to a bit of that. We know the importance of, players that are playing consistently and playing at their clubs, and then obviously bringing that confidence onto the international stage, which is obviously brilliant for the national team. But I think, yeah, just her work ethic is incredible. Like, when you put her and Denise in there, they're just two workhorses who are willing to do anything for the badge, and I think that's exactly what you need when you put on an Irish shirt. And I think as well, her ability to find spaces, like, I think in the first half, like, she was finding good pockets, but maybe the ball just wasn't coming to her. But then as well, by creating that space, you're creating that space, sorry, for those in behind you, maybe to pick up pockets and pick up the ball by dragging a defender out. But yeah, like, she does pick up really good space in there, and obviously with the goal, like, that's a hard goal to take. Even to just get there in the first place is brilliant. And then, like, we've seen, like, similar to Emily Murphy's chance, it's tougher than it looks to put it in the net, So, all credit to her. Like, and just her ability to cover ground is just insane. Like, her defensive contributions, especially in that first half, like, was class. She's just absolutely everywhere. And clearly, like, even at one stage, I seen Katie giving her instruction on maybe, like, how to maybe to slow down a wee bit when we're actually in possession to be able to get on the ball, because sometimes I think midfielders can be a bit erratic in how they run, and sometimes if you stand still, it's actually nearly the best way to get on the ball.
But
So I think Katie was just telling her maybe.
I think that's something though I'd noticed. Like, I actually think her game intelligence seems to have improved, and maybe it's gone from America to England, where the focus is more on like movement and technical stuff. But I think Carla mentioned it, that she's asking questions. She seems to take instruction very well. She seems to be very coachable. Because at times when she was playing on the wing, we weren't quite sure if she had that. But now in midfield, she's making those triangles really, really well down that left-hand side. So like I say, sometimes she goes beyond, but a lot of the time she's going beyond. It's when Emily Murphy drops in and they're still creating space for each other. So I do think she seems like a really, really coachable player, which is obviously a dream for any management team, especially when she has the engine that she has.
Yeah, definitely. I know, like, definitely under Carla Ward anyways, it has felt like she has kind of come into her own on the pitch a little bit more. And see, I think confidence is the word that I would use. It's just everything that she does seems more confident, and that she's more certain in. Now, whether that, as I said, is just getting a little bit different coaching style and play from being in England rather than the States, or it is just a simple fact of having a lot more playing time? Because she was without a club for a little while before she came over to England as well. But yeah, great to see another goal from her. And as we said, the more players that we can have in the team that are able to do that over the next while for when we're playing in Brazil in the World Cup, all the better. I'm manifesting it, Karen. You know, it has to be done.
Yeah, no, I'm with you now. Positivity pants are on.
Scarlett, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Karen there a second ago as well, just in terms of what you feel like the most important thing to come out of this window is.
I think the clean sheet is vital. I think it's something that, you know, we hadn't got probably in a while. And it's something that I think every Irish team kind of backs on how good their defence is. So I think that solidity and to, you know, to get through the game and, you know, obviously not conceding is huge. I think it's something that if we could bring, obviously it's going to be two very different games, but if we can bring that same sort of discipline and structure to the two games against France and the Netherlands, I think that would be huge. Obviously we're going to be missing Denise and Emily Murphy for the Netherlands game, but I think, you know, like the confidence that is in the team, I think if you didn't have that, I'd nearly be sitting here saying we can, you know, we could nearly get a win against Netherlands because of the way we're playing and, you know, how confident the girls are in that group at the minute. Like, you know, stranger things have happened, and I think that we could go and nick something.
I would have said that too, but then they popped up with 4 points against France.
Yeah.
So that's your spanner in the works.
I know, yeah, definitely. But like if Poland can get a draw against them, I'd say we're definitely more than capable of it, because like I thought we were more the better team over the two games by far. Like Poland, even though they do have Pior up there, like one of the best players in the world, like they didn't use her enough across the two games, and you know, they didn't really threaten us an awful lot. And like we spoke about the goals from the last game, like they were from sort of our maybe mistakes and, you know, things that are easily fixed for us. So like I think that we were by far the better team, and even like I thought more so in the first game, like we were, you know, it was kind of, I said last week that it's two teams that are really close in quality. It's hard to beat two times in a row. It's like when they're played in close proximity, but like I think we were by far like a more superior team. I wouldn't even put us in the same bracket nearly after those two games. So yeah, I think that's the main positive to take, and obviously the confidence that will be within the group after those two games as well would be massive, because I can't imagine, even if you got two draws out of that, with things still sort of lying in the balance. Now, obviously, Poland could come off with two incredible results and stun us, but I can't see it happening. So I think just being able to take a breath now, and, you know, not the pressure's off, but like that's a big two results for us now to build on. And yeah, I think the confidence and the morale that will be in the group in June for the next two games will be massive.
Yeah, you could even see it in the body language of the players when the final whistle went. There definitely was like a phew. Not that, you know, we did get away with the penalty a little bit, but not that we got away with both games, in the sense that, you know, I think we were, as you said, Scarlett, pound for pound, the better team. And we deserved the points over the course of the two. And I think the team definitely will feel that any of the criticisms that maybe have been previously leveled at them, or say any concerns that have been previously leveled at them, that they had by and large stood up to those and brought that complacency that we had, or sorry, lack of, they didn't have a lack of complacency or a lack of consistency.
I think the relief at the end of the game, while they probably aren't allowed to say it themselves, is they have achieved what they set out to achieve in this group, realistically. So to do that with two games to spare, 6 points would have been, I would think, what they thought would get them this, and they have it now. And it was beating Poland, which they've done. They've put in four very good performances. So I think they're kind of like, okay, we can breathe now.
We can all breathe a little bit now.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, and it is that thing though as well, that before, when we've gone into these like really important games, and we said it a little bit when we were previewing this window, you know, we would know that we had like the capability of the squad on paper to do what needed to be done. But I do think there has been a mental strength shown in the side over these two games that, not that it was necessarily always lacking before, but just that consistency of being able to do it against the same opponent over two close games. Also, having one game in the Aviva, you know, big pitch, big crowd, it's just different. So it means a lot that we were able to get over. And I think, you know, a credit to Carla and the coaching staff as well for being the ones to bring that. And, you know, Carla hasn't really shied away in the build up to this for saying that they were aiming for that third spot and that these two games were the really important ones. You know, I think she definitely has leaned into that a lot. So it wasn't like it was a denial of like, oh well, if we don't get the points now, we'll get them in the next round. You know, I think that has been very clear from all the squads that these games were going to be it. Karen, you're obviously on punditry at the weekend and at the game. What was the atmosphere like actually in the Aviva?
Yeah, it was very good. There's actually a really decent Polish crowd as well. I think you probably heard them when that penalty appeal was going around. But yeah, again, really good. I still would love if we had that kind of middle-sized stadium, like a 20,000 seater there, 25,000 seater that we could pack out just kind of to enclose it all. But I think when you're standing beside the Aviva pitch and you're looking at the surface and you're just looking at the surroundings, I mean, it's impeccable. I mean, it is a privilege to get to play somewhere like that. And yes, it was a great day out for everyone. The weather held up, all the conditions were perfect. So it was great. And again, hopefully it was kind of like, okay, they could see the excitement starting to build. Obviously, there was a bit of competition there with the Women's Six Nations being on as well. So it's great to see that they got a crowd and they got a win as well. And obviously women's sport kind of dominated the headlines the next day, which was brilliant, but maybe even some crossover within the support there. So we might see a bigger crowd come playoff time, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. I was just thinking about it because, you know, I watched the coverage. Off the Ball had live comms. They also had, you know, live bits around the rugby. They had, you know, analysis around both games. And I couldn't really ever remember a time in my life anyways, in particular, where there was, you know, two really, really big matches on and dominating everything. And as you said, the next day as well, the majority of the papers, because it's the first time I think the rugby women have ever played down in Galway, playing in the new Dex.com, which again, and is another great new stadium, really, really nice pitch, really nice, you know, stands. And I think between the two of them, you know, they made a lot of front pages, a lot of back pages on the sport as well. So it definitely, it felt like a bit of a moment, which is always nice to have. Scarlett, next round is in June, as we said, Netherlands and France. Netherlands at home down in Cork, and then France away in Grenoble. If there was one thing that you'd like to see, I suppose, come from those games. Now, obviously, the Netherlands game is a little bit harder because we are not going to have Emily Murphy and Denise O'Sullivan. And hopefully that's it and everyone stays injury-free over the next couple of weeks. But if there was one thing you would love to nitpick and see the team change in the couple of weeks in between, what would that be?
Well, I think more so with the two that are going to be out, like that always, one positive about that is it always opens the door for two new players to come in, maybe players that we haven't seen a lot of in the last few months, to come in and maybe put their hand up and put in a big performance and, you know, try sort of get that start in place in the 11. So I think that's a great opportunity for the two that do come in. Who that is, not sure. Obviously, it's a long way till June, so we'll have to see. But I think in that midfield role, like we're probably short enough in that area at the minute. So I think it would be great if someone did come in and put their hand up and, you know, put in a strong performance. Now, that player is not going to replace Denise because that is impossible. But even just for going forward, like Karen mentioned, the bench and, you know, the one sub coming off, like, you know, to have more players, I suppose, primed, ready to come on or ready to start when needed. Because we've seen like things with like Kia Carusa getting sick or being sick over the weekend, and you know, not playing the first game. Like things like that do happen. And you know, if we are going to go to tournaments, we need to be ready for moments like that, and we need to be prepared. And whoever is going to come on and replace whoever it might be needs to be ready too. So I think that's a really good opportunity now to, you know, we have that, I suppose, as you said, breathing space, and we have an opportunity to maybe try something different, or, you know, to breed in these new players who maybe haven't played this campaign so far. So I think that's a positive. And I'd be excited to see if she, you know, who she does pick in those positions, and if we do change shape or what the story is around that time, because I think even without the two of them, you should be looking for a result, whether that's just trying to bank up and, you know, try get a clean sheet and, you know, get that 0-0, or whether it is going with how we have been in the last 2 weeks. That sort of, obviously the fullbacks won't be as high and wide as we've seen the last two games, but if we have a good structure now to be able to build on, and I'd be excited to see, you know, what Carla does do for the two games, because I think the group and the confidence levels we're at, they're two games that we could go and get something from.
I'd like to see those replacements both on the pitch and within the squad be kind of with an eye on the future. I mean, the World Cup is another year away. I would like it to be a springboard to someone who could be coming into form for that year's time, someone like a Jessu. And then within the squad, I again would like it to be a couple probably of younger, more inexperienced players who, again, the pressure is kind of off for these two games. So who gets to come in and around the squad yet experience what it would like to be preparing for a France and Netherlands games. Like that would really stand to a young player. So I hope that we do see maybe not new names, but definitely a younger profile of player coming in as those squad replacements.
Yeah, because we've seen even with the players from the league here that came in, you know, we're chatting to Maria before the start of the international window and just how much it meant to her, and she talked like quite eloquently as well about different times when she'd been in training with the squad, and that alone, how much that had, you know, helped her with her development, and also I think probably gave like a very physical, tangible goal in terms of getting into the team. So the more of that we can see, definitely the better, because Karen, you mentioned it at the start of the podcast, you know, depth maybe isn't something that we have a whole lot of at the moment, especially in particular areas. So the more that we can build on that, the better for those games and then the playoffs and hopefully Brazil next year. Guys, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to do this, especially after two great games. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland teams. We will be back with all WSL action. We also will be chatting about the lead up to the Champions League as well, which is very exciting for Katie McCabe. So RT, you're doing coverage of it, which I don't, that's new, isn't it? They didn't do.
Yeah. Really great, really exciting. Again, more eyes on the game. That's the kind of thing that will attract a different audience as well, like a lot, maybe a crossover of Arsenal fans, particularly. They might need a little pep in their step after the weekend.
I nearly got through a whole podcast without having to watch it. Do you know, it was very, very funny. I watched it. I was in Madrid for the weekend and I got in just like 2 minutes before kickoff to like the street that I live on. So it's like, right, I'll duck into the local to ease my pains of not sitting in 30 degree heat, sipping sangria and watch this match. And I did know, I did text one of my friends and I was like, I'm looking forward to this making me even more depressed. Watch the game. Obviously, it didn't really go our way. And the bar woman came over to me at the end with a drink. And I was like, I didn't order this. Like, I was just about to head home. And she was like, one of the old fellas at the bar had bought it for me and sent it over. He didn't say anything and just said to the bar woman to give it to me. And I was like, why do you do that? And she was like, he said, you look so disgusted at the final whistle that it might help you. So to that man who I don't know, thank you very much. It did help ease the pain ever so slightly. But I was like, what? was my face looking like that this poor man took so much pity on me? But it's fine. There's still time. There's still games to come. And hopefully Katie and the women can, if they win me a Champions League, it will definitely ease my pain a little bit more, just like the last time that they did it. But for now, on that very cheery note from me, we'll see you all very, very soon. And thank you very much for listening.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball, in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.